Blog Talk Radio.
Expect the unexpected. Seeing before you know it, this covenant's not in vain. Once the promises start showing, so put your faith in motion. Praise him before you get it. Encouragement's on your radio, so come and listen in. It's Covenant Cafe. Come get some praise in your system with Lamont Ferguson. Poetic laces in the building for the moms and pops and children. Ushers, pastors, musicians, listen and pay attention. Expect a change and a difference. I'm too focused to let any doubt get in my way. Ultimate faith in God, I'll believe whatever he say. So glorify his name, he's more than worthy to be praised. I'm loving this covenant, Covenant Cafe.
Good evening, or good morning, whatever coast you are listening to this, because it might be morning on your side. It might be afternoon, and it might be evening. So I'm going to say all of those to say good evening.
You can say hello.
Hello. Say all those just to say hello. There it is. But welcome to the Covenant Cafe. It is three fabulous hosts on the line here. You have ladies first. The lady of
Baltimore.
That's the lady. This is the lady of the Covenant Cafe. Covenant Cafe first lady. Can I say that?
There you go. Yes, of course.
Okay. Yeah. So the Covenant Cafe's first lady is
Charlie Baltimore.
Then you have the lyrical spoken word artist. This dude is dope. I'm giving an introduction because there are people that just don't know yet. So people are tuning in like, what are we listening to? So we know what's going on. So this guy is very lyrical, very spiritual dude, and his name is
Poetic Lace.
Man, you guys got to check his music. And then you have myself, writer, director, actor, comedian, Lamont A. Ferguson. We all on the line, and we hear to speak the word of God, it's word of inspiration, basically speak words of wisdom to all of you. You might be down and out, or you may not be down and out. You might just want to hear something that catch your ear, you know what I mean? So, as a Christian, we don't always have to be down and out. Ain't that right? Now, if you are down and out, let me do this for you. Wake up.
That is the meanest man. Like, what if somebody's like, so down? And then you slap them. Like, it can't get no worse, and then you slap them. Right? What am I going to do now?
That was funny. Now if they tuned in now, they're really going, what is this? Smack, smack. Don't talk.
But before we get started, I have some interesting weird news today. Wait till you hear this stuff that I have today. Boy. But we have to, let's go ahead and open up with a word. What's our word of the day?
All right. So our word from today is actually something I got last night while sitting and waiting for my movie to start. I want to see. I'm not going to tell you our movie because I don't want you to focus on that right now. But as I'm sitting at the theater with my lady, we literally had a Bible study, right? And while we're there, I saw a lot of kids, a lot of even adults. They were very active for the time of night it was, so it was kind of like, okay, whatever. And we had a Bible study, and this is what the Lord took me to read from. So it's actually Ezekiel chapter 2. Short chapter, very short chapter, and it reads, And he said, he's talking about God, and God said to me, son of man, stand on your feet and I will speak to you. Then the spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me up on my feet, and I heard him speak to me. And he said to me, son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me in this very day, for they are impudent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, as for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words or dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that, rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Now when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book, what was in it. Then he spread it before me, and there was writing on the inside and on the outside, and written on it were laments and mournings and woe. Last three scriptures in the first chapter, chapter 3. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, eat what you find, eat this scroll, and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened up my mouth, and he caused to eat the scroll. And he said to me, son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with the scroll that I give you. So I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness. All right, so the thing that I really want y'all to catch a hold to is what is the Lord saying? He's telling this prophet Ezekiel, yo, speak to this house. Speak to them. They're rebellious. They're bad. They're just disobedient children of mine. But speak to them. Whether they hear you or they respect you, they see you, whatever, they're going to know what time it is. But you do what I tell you to do. Not only that was in the instructions, also in the instructions was eat my scroll. Eat my scroll. Eat what I give you. So I say that to say, it's too often that we, as children of God, we as servants of God, let me put it that way, because children of Israel were children of God, but we as servants of God, we often get into a discouraged place. Yeah. I don't know, God, they may not respect me, or I don't know, God, they hate on me, or I don't know, God, why would you call on me to do this? And this is the thing I want you guys to really get in your mind, is looking at this text. God says, I already know how they're going to act. Whether they receive you or not, I'm telling you to do something. So this is the whole thing, that we have to start walking in obedience. We have to, regardless of what people have to say, regardless of how people look at us, regardless of how people act towards us, there's an assignment that God has on our lives. And this is a common assignment. This is what Jesus told us to be. He said, be the lights of the earth, for it is dark. Be the salt of the earth. Do not lose your flavor. This is who we are. So regardless of how other people act, regardless of people who are doing wicked things and it seems as if they are prospering, regardless how the economy is, regardless of how what they take away from us, whether it be prayer in school or whether they legalize this or whatever, whatever, we still have a job to do. And the quieter we get, the stronger they get. So we don't have that luxury anymore to just sit back. We don't have that luxury. And in this time, and the thing about it is, now that we have an understanding, there's an assignment, there's something that we have to do. Well, how do we fulfill the assignment? How do we go about it? How do we receive instructions? We receive it by eating the word of God. This is something that we have to do daily. Mind you, he said he ate until his belly was full, and it was sweet like honey to his mouth. So that's my question. Are you eating till you get full, or are you just trying to get satiated? Or are you just snacking here's and there's, trying to hit you those sweet tooth? But are you eating till your belly is full? Are you eating to the point where you're like, dang, this is sweet to my mouth? Or are you just playing with it? This is how we got to stop playing with it and truly, truly eat till our belly is full. So we are literally giving out. We're really doing what we are called to do. And I'm not saying that everybody has to be a preacher. Everybody has to be a gospel artist. Or everybody has to be an evangelist. But I am saying that we all have to be lights. Mm-hmm. The Word of God has to show in our character, in our demeanor, in the way we talk, the way we walk, the way how we love on one another, because that's what's going to pull people in, the way how we love on one another, the way how we love on other people, period. So how we starting the show? Eat till your belly is full.
Eat till your belly is full on all levels. You know what I mean? I would say mentally and physically. Because when you're being fed, it's changing your spiritual mindset and your physical well-being, so to speak.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And to kind of explain some things, when you're eating and when you're playing around with it, that's sort of like when you're going to church and you're just going to church because it's just out of habit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're just going, okay, I'm here at church. All right, I'm going home. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You need to be in a place where you're spiritually fed, where you really can feel the word sincerely.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And not because somebody next to you saying, oh, yeah, amen.
Right.
You don't want to be felt left out, you know, so to speak. So that's some good
stuff. Well, and the thing is, I mean, you know, and we play around so much, but you know, because I know when I'm full, I know when I'm not. This is when I'm full. It's like, man, that's a lot of words, and I don't even know where to start to share this information with someone. Like that, it's just a lot to take in. And then you have those other times where it's just like, I read a scripture and then I go on with my day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wait. You know, how are you going to sustain through this day with only one scripture, and that one scripture was just something that stroked your ego? So now we're picking biased scriptures. Like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay, well, what about the first part that said be content? Did you eat that part too? So it's like, how are you getting full to your belly? Like, it's just like with our parents. We had a plate with chicken, macaroni and cheese, greens, and you had corn. You know, you had vegetables, and you had the meat, and you had your starch, cornbread. You had all that stuff on there, and you ate, and you were full. And my mom would trip out, or my grandpa, because I stayed with my grandfather, he would trip out, or my grandma, they'd be like, eat your vegetables. Mm-mm. Stop eating that all, I can do all things through Christ, and no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Start eating that, love your enemies. You know what I'm saying? Start eating that, wait on God. Start eating that stuff that's going to give you nutrients to your bones, that's going to challenge your character. Be patient. Suffer. Suffering taught the son obedience. Start eating that stuff. Stop eating that prosperity stuff. It's good every now and then because, you know, chicken is good. Fried chicken is cool. But if you eat too much of that, you're going to get a clogged artery. You know, that fried food. We need some vegetables. Eat some meat.
Mm-hmm.
You've been on milk too long. It's time to get fooled off of some real stuff.
Been on milk. I'm trying to get my daughter off milk. I know she got her ways, but, man.
Mm-hmm.
Put some chocolate in it.
Yeah, something.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny.
So are you feeling, how you feeling, First Lady?
I'm feeling really good. I had a new grandbaby born. I know it was Lace's birthday, so happy birthday.
Yes.
Oh, thank you kindly.
You're welcome.
Happy birthday.
That was my birthday lit.
Sorry, I had to throw that in there. Just get it seemed apropos. Doing good. Had a grandbaby born, Troy, the newest addition to
all
my
right.
oldest daughter, and 9 weeks early, gave me a little heart attack there for a couple of days, premium 9 weeks early, little itty-bitty thing, but doing well. So, yeah, I kind of have my mind perplexed and on leaning on God's word real quick, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is a wayward child who doesn't talk to too many family members very often, but that's okay. You know, God's good. Gave her a little boy that's doing a lot better. He's still in NICU, but, yeah, kind of had my mind on other things for a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So, but, yeah, other than that, doing good. Doing good.
Okay.
That's good.
What's going on with you, Lamont?
Everything's going smooth, man. I can't complain, you know. One day at a time. Like I said, this week has been very productive. Revised the script that I've been working on for the show that we're working on. And I'm putting up another show later on, maybe like in June, so we're prepping up for that right now. And the name of that play is called, it's titled To Death Do Us Part, and it deals with struggling with kids with autism and when you really don't know what the problem is and how it stresses out your relationship and your marriage. So it's a pretty pretty deep project. And what happens, I'm not knocking any other playwright, but this one is really different. If you have a husband and wife who has a child who's struggling with dealing with the child's behaviors, dad is always on the road. Mom was left dealing with the child. They don't know what the situation is. Then, of course, you have the female who's trying to – not the female, but you have her friend kind of saying, well, you know what, you need to go out more, this, that, and the third. And the wife started going out. She meets someone, which is a therapist, and she started telling them about the problems that she's having, this, that, and the third. The husband thinks she's cheating on him. And to come to find out that the therapist kind of helped her diagnose what find out what the child has, and you know, they find out the kid has he's an autistic kid, and the husband and wife separated because he was thinking that she was cheating on him, and she wasn't, and. They end up coming back together after the child dies at the end. Thus, yeah. The title "Till Death Do Us Part."
Wow.
Yeah, and like the girlfriend is kind of the one that, you know, helped separate the situation. You know, like, okay, well, you need to go out and meet other people, and she wasn't really trying to go out and meet other people because, you know, she's married, and she met somebody, but she wasn't talking to them in the way that her husband thought that she was cheating on her. So that's a good storyline. It's very powerful. Something different. You know, because in the most gospel plays, you know, the husband is cheating on the wife or the wife is cheating on the husband. You know, but it's really not that. So I have some pretty powerful players locally that's behind us, and I would try to pull some more powerful people into the project. So I want to keep that under wraps until that happens, but I have some ideas of who I want to reach out to, and we'll see how that works out.
What's up. And that's funny because, I mean, that is not the only problem we have in our community as far as adultery. There's so much more. So I feel you. That's good stuff, bro.
Yeah. And like I said, you know, I'm not there was a period, to be honest, there was a period where I was, you know, knocking Tyler Perry, knocking the other people for putting out those stories. And then I was just like, you know, I looked at it as black soap operas, and then more so I was like, you know what, let me put out projects that I want to see out there. And that's what motivated me to do so. So I started reading more about the behind the scenes of the Tyler Perrys, the David Talberts and stuff like that. So instead of complaining about it, I want to be a part of, you know, because they say if you complain, why don't you be a part of the solution? If you're not a part of the solution, don't complain. So I'm trying to be a part of the solution and bring out,
be proactive.
Yeah.
Proactive.
Mm-hmm.
Like it.
Yeah, so I got a lot of work ahead of me, but God has definitely blessed me with the actual powerful team that's going to help move this project to people, so people can see it, not just, you know, a church, you know, so I want it on a bigger platform, and that's my goal.
That's dope, homie. That's dope.
Yeah, so definitely looking forward to it.
I was going to say, I get to go to dinner tomorrow night with one of the leaders of National Right to Life. President Guy's coming into town, going to dinner tomorrow night with him. There's a lot on that, just speaking on, you know, the things that are near and dear to our hearts. Raising money for pro-life movement, a lot of attacks coming on the family these last, well, forever, but, you know, been kind of pretty hard these last few months. A lot of things coming around, but looking forward to that. Speaking of proactive meetings, that should be good.
Mhm. Yeah, that's definitely so good.
Do you guys hear that beep?
You know, just being proactive and in your surroundings, you know, the stuff that you're really interested in, and I think that's really important when you when you make that step instead of complaining.
Mhm. That goes with what Lace was saying in the scriptures. You know, when you're filling yourself with that word, many, many times in all of our, all three of us, our outside workforces that we're involved in every day, that comes in handy. God has opened doors and windows and put that knowledge in your heart and in your head. And sure enough, there'll be things come right to my mind. Scripture specifically would be like, okay, this is, you know, this is what God was trying to show me. Therefore, I need to put that out of my heart. How am I going to use it? Or put, you know, use it out of my heart. It was already in my heart. And then out comes the works, you know, right in line with those scriptures. If I maintain, you know, that composure in involvement in with what I'm working on at the moment. I've noticed that. So definitely getting your teeth into scripture first thing in the morning before work or night before you go to bed. And that always seems to come to my mind. I'll think, oh, I read about this, you know, or how to handle that. Or that's right in line with X, Y, Z, and it really helps. It really does. So that daily study is definitely of God, His plans.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what we're going to do is we're going to get into a music break, and we're going to come back with some weird news. And also, we do have a guest that's going to be calling in later on. So you guys definitely got to stay tuned to what's going down here at the on the Covenant Cafe. And, you know what? You know how people say, take me to the break?
Mm-hmm.
So, well, we're not going to take you to the break. Here's a segue, Take Me to the King by Tamela Mann, here on the Covenant Cafe. We'll be right back.
Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't pray. What's left to do?
Come on.
Truth is I'm no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. One touch will change my life, take me. Don't have much to breathe. must breathe. My heart's torn to pieces. It's my offering.
Powerful song. We have someone on the line. Let's go to our line right now. Caller, you are on the air. This is the Covenant Cafe. Who do we have? I guess they're not. Caller, you are on the air. I don't know.
Being shy. Being shy. All back.
You know, I think they was trying to go see the king, and they got mm-hmm. Got a little shy. Now, I think it was starstruck.
Maybe like that.
Right, maybe.
It gets like sometimes. Have any of you guys, just in case that was our guest, I was going to get into the weird news, but I'm going to give him some time to call back. But have any of you guys been ever starstruck? Okay, hold on 1 second. Let's try this again. Carla, you're on the air with the Covenant Cafe. Okay. I understand.
Must be going to be a good call, that's all.
Yeah.
Are you snowed in? No, I don't know. Maybe they have the mute button on their phone.
They have that one button that just, you know, messes things up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, what I was asking, have any of you been starstruck before?
Oh, you're talking to us, right?
Yeah.
We're all like, no, actually, no. I was born in Hollywood, California. My mom taught me at a young age, they are not better than you. Do not be starstruck. I mean, she was real emphatic about that. I mean, I met a few people, but I always remember my mom saying that. So I just act like, you know, no big deal. It's like, hey, what's up?
Oh, wow.
Inside, I thought, oh, my gosh, it's really them, but I didn't act like it.
Sweet. That's right. That's Carla, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, this is Margo Valencia, Jonathan Valencia's mom.
Hello, how you doing?
Awesome.
Good, how are you?
Hello.
Okay.
Hi.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, we're good. Do we have a good connection with you?
Yes, you have a great connection right now. Because we were losing you. We thought you was getting snowed in somewhere.
Well, I have Jonathan with me.
Okay.
Awesome.
Is he available to talk?
Yes, he's here.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello, Jonathan.
Hello. How are you?
Yes. Are you okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so this is the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and we have
our Glaze.
And then the First Lady of Covenant Cafe.
Oh. Wonderful.
Okay.
So would you like Jonathan?
Jonathan?
Amen.
Okay. So Poetic Lace will be doing an interview.
Okay, wonderful.
Awesome. Well, before we even get started, I met you guys personally. Awesome. The Holy Spirit definitely rests in you guys, and I'm so proud and I'm ecstatic to have you guys on the show. It is just truly an honor to have you here.
And we feel the same way about you. You are a true man of God. You've blessed us a whole bunch.
Glory. Now that we got it out of the way, now we're going to pretend that I never met you guys. I don't know you. I didn't say anything. I didn't post, no Twitter, no Facebook, nothing. This is just straight up a blind interview. Y'all good with that?
Yeah.
I'm good with it. Are they good? Okay.
All right, so this is how we're going to get started. Who is this 12-year-old boy that's stirring up so much in the kingdom right now that God is just using? Who is this 12-year-old guy? Who is this?
This 12-year-old is an instrument for God. This is a 12-year-old that goes hard for the Lord and loves to bless other people and loves to get people saved. And this is a 12-year-old that loves to preach the gospel and minister to other people.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Good stuff. Now, you being 12 years old, a lot of people will say, well, you know, what makes him so on fire for God? He's only 12 years old. Can you give us a little bit of your testimony? Why are you so bold in his faith, and why are you proclaiming the gospel the way you do?
Because he brought me this far. He's blessed me to have a word. He's blessed me to have anointing, and he has just blessed me to come this far, and I just want to praise him, and I know that he's the one that helps me on my everyday life, helps me. Without him, I know that I would be nothing. That's why I go hard for him, and I know that there is a hell, and I know that other people don't know him. That's why I need to. I'm obligated to do that, so that's why I'm so on fire for him.
Awesome. So I heard that you were a preacher first. You started preaching before you got into music. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, before this ministry and I was preaching, the pastor would call me up to preach, or when my granddad would preach, I would preach with him, and we would study before the preaching, and I would also sing, I Know It Was the Blood, for my pastor, and I would sing other songs just in the church.
Mm-hmm. So how did you wind up in getting into music?
Well, at my school, there's a lot of people that listen to this music that puts death and curses upon their life. So I told my mom about this, and I know that we needed to do a change, so my mom started writing, and after that, I would learn the verses. And that's how it came to be.
Okay. So when you say death and curses, how are other artists placing death and curses in their music? And how can you explain so people could understand who don't know what you're talking about?
Well, this music that the devil uses these people to write this music about things other than God. What everything that is not of God is of Satan. And of Satan, what it is death and curses, because Satan is all bad. There's nothing good about him. So all when the devil these people to write this bad, bad music, people listen to it. So when they start to sing and sing along to the song, they're speaking it upon their life and don't know it. So that's what people do. That's what Satan does for people, to speak death and curses upon their life and they don't even know it.
That's really good. And from our understanding, you never rapped before. Your mom never wrote any music before. And you stepped out on faith, and things are happening. What impact do you see is being left by your music, or what is God doing through you? Even if it's just the preaching or the speaking part, what changes have you seen begin to take place?
Well, the thing that I feel is what God's doing for me is with my music, I'm making a real impact on the people, and they're seeing that it's not about age. They're seeing somebody that they're getting so impacted because they're seeing I'm not grown. I'm 20 years old, so impacted. They want to do more for the Lord when they see me. So I kind of stir other people up as I go. My fire spreads on to other people and ignites them. And I think that's what God for me to be an impact for other people.
And that's really, really good stuff, and it's true. Just I'll say this over the air. My girlfriend, when she had a chance to see you minister, she was like, oh, ladies, I just want to take him home. Let's just grab him before his mom sees me and put him in the car and drive off. And it was so funny to me because her mindset is like, wow, if I can have a kid this on fire, that he's going to cause me to stay focused. This was her, you know, her thinking, or even other people's thinking. You had so many adults, because I've done like a couple of shows with you before, and you had so many adults, and even young adults, or even teenagers, or even kids, who are like, wow, you know, he's so on fire, I need to step my game up. You know, you even encourage a lot of ministers, even as myself, you encourage us to persevere, to press for you being so young and to really move the way that you're moving in Jesus' name. It's really great, you know, so I definitely want to encourage you to continue to do be on fire as you are. Lamont, I want to hear something. What'd you say?
Man, I'm going to tell you what. I'm just sitting here engulfed in what this young man is talking. I mean, like, it's like he's ahead of his time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have a 12-year-old speaking like this, and you have adults that can't even speak that way.
Right.
But anyway, before we get into your song, Kingdom Bound, and to me, it's a very self-explanatory title. But to those who need to know about the song, when you wrote the song, what inspired you? And it's, I know I sound funny saying what inspired you because Kingdom Bound, but how did you get inspired to write the song? Did it just hit you in the head while you were driving? I mean, of course you wasn't driving. You were riding as a passenger. How did the song come about before we actually get into the song, Kingdom Bound?
Well, let me interject, and I want to answer that question. So I'm Mom, Margo Valencia, and I write all songs. Jonathan hasn't really delved into the writing part of it.
Okay.
I wrote the songs based on inspiration from God, and a lot of my songs are songs that when I look at Jonathan, I get inspired to write some of the words that I've written, say that he is my tugboat. He has tugged me spiritually towards the Lord. He's pointed me to God, and I kind of relate. I was really, when Poetic Lace was talking about his girlfriend, I understand just how she feels, because he keeps me on fire for the Lord. He is one that studies the scriptures. He is one that constantly is always carrying his Bible around, and is just in him to love the word. And so it inspired me. And so Kingdom Bound was one that said that Matthew 19:14, that kids need to be kingdom bound now. God wants us to raise our kids to be kingdom bound now, serving God now, not waiting till later. But really, really, he's given us a mandate. We're obligated now to train our children up, not when they grow up, but now that they be kingdom bound and serving the Lord and doing things right now for God. And so that was the inspiration about you know, with Kingdom Bound.
Okay. So we're going to, this is definitely, definitely awesome. So what we're going to do is get into the song, and y'all hang tight because we're going to come back to you after the song, okay?
Yes.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Jonathan Valencia, King of Bound here, coming at Capitol.
Delivery sweet, milk. won't blow.
You know what? You've been here before because that had that old school feel to it.
Right, right.
You've been here before. I know. Moms wrote the lyrics. I understand that, but that's just dope. It's definitely a dope feel to it. And like I said, he's definitely ahead of his time, man. I don't know about I missed it, but how do you feel about being ahead of your time? When people say that, how do you feel when people say that?
Well, wisdom.
Wisdom.
Godly wisdom.
Godly wisdom. Okay. All right, Lace. You go ahead and finish.
All right. This one, this great. Is for Mom. You said that, Mom?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So now the question, now we're kind of gearing the interview a little bit towards you, but we're staying on the same track. How do you feel as far as having a prophet in the house and knowing sometimes how the burden can be as far as I remember on one end for me growing up, it was kind of like I grew up fast. It was a childhood that kind of went fast because I had to grow up, you know, as if you get what I'm saying. So how do you feel as far as you seeing, you know what your son has to do, you know how he is, what the Lord is demanding from him, you know some of the desires that may come unto his life. How does that make you feel, and how does it cause you to raise your son? Do you apply more pressure on him, or are you more lenient, or, you know, just can you give us a taste of how you are, how you feel as a mom and what you deal with?
Well, for me, it's really helped me gear myself in my own life personally to really allow God to do his will and for me to stop doing things the way I wanted to do it. So it's caused me, when I look at my boys, I truly want them to make heaven. I truly want them to be kingdom bound. So it's just an obligation that I feel that I really need to be better toward them when it comes down to the word of God and put it before mm-hmm. them so that God can have his will to be done in their lives. Because the best thing that we could want for our children is that God's will be done, that they live out their purpose mm-hmm. for God and not their own way. Because if they do it their own way, eventually it's going to come and crash and burn and nothing comes out of that. But, I mean, I don't care if they're a doctor, I don't care if they're a lawyer, I don't care if they're an attorney. Anything you do and it's without God is not going to work. You won't be happy. And so for me, most important for me is that my boys be men of God first and seek the kingdom first, seek God and his righteousness first, keeping those things, and all these things shall be added unto them. So my focus is very different now. And so that's how I am trying to be different in how I'm raising my children.
Good stuff. Good stuff. I want to know, I asked Jonathan this, but we're going to kind of flip it to you because you're going to give us a grown answer. We want to know your testimony. What is something that you can tell us that will encourage us? Because, as you know, we deal with a lot of people in the urban community, which is a very nice way of saying ghetto. And a lot of people feel like, I see you on stage, I saw your video on TV, cool, God got you, but what about me? Why should I go hard when I'm here? Y'all haven't been through what I've been through. So I ask that you share your testimony to enlighten that person with that mindset.
Well, here's what I would say. For me, you know, I would understand how people can make excuses and things like that, because that's what it is when you really begin to look at it in its fullness. I was a person that really thought I had everything all together and was living my life and going on thinking I could do it independently without God. And for me, it took me to be broken. It took me to go and just fall to a very broken state for me to say, God, I just need you. And one thing about God, no matter who you are and how far you've fallen or how big you are, every one of us need him. I mean, I don't care what your state is, but I can tell you this, your life is more successful in anything you do when you use his wisdom, when you do it his way and not your own way. And so I would say for anyone, everybody has to have their own personal experience with the Lord. But even if you're not doing all you can do, there's a point in time when I was not always doing what I should do. But if you could just keep God there as far as praying for him and asking him to help you, with a humble heart, just help you through whatever it is, he'll begin to direct you. He'll begin to lead you, and you'll begin to get those aha moments in you. You just have to let the world go in some as far as distractions, and really let God, even in your quiet time when nobody's around you, you can just say, God, help me. God, help me. I can't do this. God, just help me. And you just go on. Continue just to honor him in that. And you'll begin to see God will honor you and begin to make things right for you. And so my encouragement is that, you know, I know a lot of people feel, you know, well, you know, I see these church people, or maybe they feel, you know, very negative. Maybe they've been hurt in church. But they have to realize it's nothing about all of that. It's really in a relationship personally with Jesus. Your own personal relationship is what you first got to get right. And you can't use other people to explain why you are not doing what you should do. And so my encouragement is to focus on him personally.
Good stuff. Good stuff. So we're going to turn it back to Jonathan, and then we're going to let you guys go. So, Jonathan,
okay.
Can you tell us a little bit? Jonathan, you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. Tell us a little bit about your debut album, the singles and music videos that came off of it. Can you give us just a little bit about it so we can know what we're going to buy?
What it is as you know, my mom wrote the song. The song was really given to my mom straight from God. And this is just from when being Kingdom Bound. That was my first single. With trying to tell people that, do you know that you know that you know? Do you really know that you know that you're going to heaven if you die right now? That's what we're trying to get to people.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta have full courage. You have to have all that you know that you know that you're going to make to heaven if you die right now. You have to have that 100% in your body. Knowing 100% in your spirit, knowing if you're going to make it to heaven if you die right now. I know if I die right now, I will make it to heaven, so I got to get it to other people. Do you really know that you know that you know that you're going to make it to heaven if you die right now? That's
Love
what we need to get across to people. That was my first single, and we're just trying to get people to praise the Lord, let the Holy Spirit take control, and be 100%, because if you're not 100%, God says he will spit you out, spew you out. So that's why you have to be 100%. That's what our album is all about.
Good stuff, good stuff. So we want to buy the album. We want to support you. We want to be in your little world. How can we do that? What is your website, Twitter, Facebook? Where can we find your music at? Well, I would love for you to share all your links with us right now.
I have a website, www.johnsonvalenciamusic.com. You can find my Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can find where to buy. It's available on all digital outlets, and that's really where learn more about me is on my website.
All right, can you spell that for us? Your website.
It's www.johnsonvalenciamusic.com.
Good stuff. Awesome. Well, I love you like a little brother. I love you, Sister Margo, as well.
Y'all have
my personal number. If you ever need me or you need to talk, y'all know to reach out to me. I'm going to go ahead and turn you over to Lamont and Charlie if they have anything they want to say or input.
I like the fact that you was trying to get him to push the album, and it really wasn't about the album. It was really about taking souls.
Right.
I knew that
was going to happen, and that's good stuff.
You know, I commend you on that. I mean, that's the bottom line. There's nothing else for me to add there. What about you, Charlie? Yeah, so I think she's speechless.
I wanted to just add also, too, because when people get to learn a little bit of... I wanted to add just a little bit, just to tell you a little bit, but just how God just has moved in our ministry from a short time of starting in March of 2013, from then to now, that Jonathan has been nominated for the Texas Gospel Music of Excellence Awards for New Artist of the Year. We're traveling there to Houston, Texas, this weekend coming up. Also, he's been nominated for 3 Rhythm of Gospel Awards, and he's also, too, been nominated for the Praise Factor People Choice Award. So God has also opened other platforms for him to be heard. And so really it's for us to be heard so that Jonathan can be a light for Jesus, especially for the youth.
Nice. And I apologize, guys. My phone was on, my mic was on mute, so I was trying not to be speechless. But very nice to hear that we have some strong moms out there, Margo. And just so you know, I have 5 daughters and 1 son. I have a daughter that's 12. I think they need to meet sometime in the future.
Yes.
And she sings, too.
Wow, we would
absolutely.
And I don't know prerequisites
for our kids.
I would love that. And have them to go to his wife's website and then connect with us, too. We would love that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Poet Lace had an opportunity to talk with you about Flow. The Flow video is making a national TV debut currently now. And if people want to know when it's playing in their areas, they can connect with us on Facebook.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome.
That's definitely.
You know, it's funny that everybody, because I've heard other parents say this behind the scenes, that everybody's trying to recruit Jonathan now for their daughters. Like, he's perfect for you. Taking pictures and sending it to their kids. Like, Jonathan is a hot commodity.
That's funny.
Hey, that's a good thing.
Absolutely. So
laugh. I know. But that's nice. I always just like to think with us moms that, you know, I know from mom to mom, you know, you worried. You sit there and you look and say, okay, how do we keep our kids on that straight and narrow? You know, you got to just turn that faith over and pray and guide them. But I definitely commend you on that because he sounds like, you know, he's got a good head on his shoulder, especially being so young and that scripture in there of train up a child, you know, so when they grow old, they don't part from that way. Billions of verses within that right there. You know, that's just awesome. I commend you on that. It's wonderful.
And
wonderful.
But we thank you all for giving us the opportunity to come and share our ministry with you guys. We really, really just really are humbled by the opportunity.
No problem. We thank you for calling in and sharing your testimony and your talents with us and the world.
Amen.
All right. And you guys have a good night and be safe.
We sure will. Thank you so much again. God bless you all.
All right.
Wow. The capital W. Wow.
That's two capital W's.
Right?
Like, I've literally, and the thing which is amazing to me, you know, his music is good, but the live performance, it's on another level, because it's like, it's easy for anyone to talk it, you know, so that's why you always say, yeah, music is good. But for you to walk it out, you know, there's that in person, that feel, that lets you know if someone's authentic or not. And this is not, you know, I didn't give it enough justice. I feel like I couldn't give it enough justice, because like though she says she writes the lyrics, it's not like he just reads the lyrics and, you know, that's what it is. Like, no, he's literally living every single word, so it is as if he wrote it. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So, I just had to declare that out there. So if anyone was looking to book him for one of their events coming up or in the near future or whatever, you know, definitely this is someone who's going to bring energy. This is someone who he's going to stir up the youth. I mean, it's a child. You know, this is a literal child. This is not somebody who looks like he's 17 and, you know, in a five-year-old body. This is a real authentic child.
Yeah,
when
I was
you know, so.
Reminded me of, like, the golden child. Do you remember when Eddie Murphy, you're just thinking, this little kid right here, you know, when you hear him. Add them to our list. We'll add them to that list. You know, we got to definitely do something. That is just amazing. It just blew me away to hear him talk and the words he was using. I was like, wow, that is neat.
Mm-hmm.
Neat to hear that. But I know what you mean. Like, when you're on the mic and just in the studio is one thing, but I can imagine him when you're saying it does no justice. I feel you, Lace, where you get on there, spirit starts moving, and they just start moving, talking, singing, and I can picture that coming to life real quick.
There was one event that we did, and a host, when she was announcing him to get ready to go, she was like, yeah, and this kid, because I guess she did another event with him, so she was like, and this kid, I thought he was going to be shy. He almost took the mic from me. So it's like he comes on with so much confidence and energy. So, and that's something that's, you know, it's a priceless thing in a child to be that bold of God. And his mindset is like, you know, I don't really care about all the stuff. All I know is, you know, if I die today, I'm going to heaven. Do you know that? And if you don't, this is how you're going to get there. Period.
It wasn't about him pushing his album when you was like, okay, well, can't we find it? You know, he was. Mm-hmm. It was all about saving souls.
Yeah.
Right. I picked up on that. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Bold is in a good way, too.
He's definitely ahead of his time. So what we're going to do, and we're going to do a little shifting of the atmosphere by Jason Nelson, because this guy, Jonathan Valencia, has set the mold. He has set the bar for everybody else to come on after this.
Yes.
Right? I'm saying 12-year-old, he set the bar. So we're going to shift the app, do a little shift to the atmosphere. We're going to get into a little Jason Nelson, and we're going to come back to the weird news, because this, we're on fire today. We're on fire tonight, or this afternoon, or this morning, wherever you're listening at.
Place is shifting me.
Simple. It's not complex. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you get the point, and you need to explain anything after that.
Yeah.
You say, wow, and people get the picture. But you're going to say...
This is what I like about wow, though. Wow can be a very mysterious word.
Mm.
Even mischievous. Now this is why I said mischievous, though. Because say you're awful. You just come on, yeah, yeah, hip hop, yeah. Wow.
You know what I'm saying? And listen, you're not going to question my intentions or my motives behind that. Wow, you're just going to take it for like, yeah, that's what's up. Now, mind you, I'm not lying to you. I have not lied to you. I have not hurt your feelings, and I have truly expressed how I felt. And instead, if you come on shifting the atmosphere, and it's really good. Wow. Like, I have not hurt your feelings. I have not lied. I have just, it's just simple encouragement, and I believe that gives a good gap for the Holy Spirit to do what he needs to do in your life. So if you, yeah, hippie, hoppity, yeah, you know, you come on like that. I'm like, so the gap is going to give the Holy Spirit opportunity to minister to your heart, because this is how I see it. Mm-hmm. Even though I didn't say anything negative to you and say you took that wow as encouragement, you're going to be like, wow, man, I could really do this. Let me work harder. You know, let me sharpen my craft. So I think wow is a great word all the time.
I like the way you broke it down, because that's true. You can be like, wow, man. And then it's just the way you say the wow. It can imply that, oh, you really loved it, or you were left speechless. Right?
Yeah.
I can't believe they actually said that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of times I could have just said wow and not say anything else.
Yeah.
That's one of those words.
Plenty of times. There was this one interview, we all said we're like, wow.
Right.
Just like that. It was just like a big gap in time where it's like, okay, awkward.
Yeah. Awkward silence after a while. Mm-hmm.
Now, future guest, please don't think when we say wow, don't you try to discover or try to discern what our wow is. I'm just saying that wow is not applied the same way all the time. But it's still a good thing. It's not a negative thing. Whenever you hear me say, wow, it's not a negative thing. Unless God convicts you and says it is, now that's another story. But, you know, for future guests and future listeners, don't think when I say wow, it's like, oh, he's clowning. No. It's not that. It's not.
Well, then you have this, though. If you take it in the way that it's applied negatively, mean mm-hmm. you weren't sure of yourself.
Right, exactly. So that's insecurity. You got to handle that. You have to handle that.
Great. You will have to handle that insecurity, and we will have to say, wake up.
Where's your sound effect?
Stop being insecure. You know what I'm saying?
There you go. Any of my coworkers at work are going to hear that and crack up, because I always use that instead of like, wow, I'll just be like, really? And I do that just in discussion, so they are going to think I put you up to that. But yeah, there's different emphasis on wow, you know? There just is. It's kind of like, you know, you can't always say, mm-hmm. You know, that doesn't always come out, but wow.
Exactly.
Can you imagine that? Like, I do a whole rap song for you, and you'd be like, mm-hmm.
that, get out the way. Mm-hmm.
that won't be good if somebody if you did a whole
song
and somebody went, mm-hmm.
It just doesn't sing it all. Wow, it does.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Like, how much you hear my song? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He is
silly.
But what we have is some interesting weird news. Let's get to this weird news. Check this out. This young lady by the name of Denise, she was arrested after racking up a $980 cab fare.
A what?
A young lady racked up a bill for a cab. The fees racked up to be $980.
Well,
where
she went? Where did she go?
Okay, let's find out. It says a Massachusetts woman is being accused of taking a cab driver for a ride by refusing to pay a $980 cab fare. On Wednesday, Denise Rebelto, 31, returned from Brazil and grabbed the cab at JFK International Airport. She had the driver, Aiden Chandri, drive her to Framingham, Massachusetts, which is about 15 miles west. He estimated the ride will cost between $850 to $1,000, and she agreed. Okay? When the cab finally arrived at her home, the fare was $980. And she allegedly told the cab driver the money was in her house. She came back 10 minutes later and told the driver she didn't have enough money on her credit card, and her credit card was no good. He gave her another ride to the police station. She told the authority she wanted to pay, but she said, "I have so many problems. I just came from Brazil." So the police then charged her with larceny over $250. The police arrested her at 8:45 p.m. and charged her, charged her with the larceny, which was she had to pay $250 because that was her first. This is her first offense. Now she was released Thursday after striking a deal with the judge to pay back the cab driver within 60 days. Still, the amount of the cab fare bewildered the judge. From New York, he said this. From New York, you said, that is how much it costs? That's what the judge said. And he also told her that they have buses.
Wow. No, just kidding.
Yeah, that is a lot. The funniest part of the story to me, and not laughing at her expense, but...
No.
When you said a taxi driver gave her a ride to the police station, that's like, what? Wow.
Right?
So,
if you were going to rip off a cab driver, don't you think you ought to take that to the airport? Say, I'll be right back.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I'm thinking you're going to say, just drop me off at this store, and you can go out the back door.
Right?
And your house is up the street. But
yeah.
You took him to your house.
Right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That is weird.
Yeah.
Right. What else you got for us, man?
Now, I don't know if you're ready for this one. Let's drop the bomb. You know, the police have been getting a lot of bad press lately about a lot of, shooting people and, just doing crazy things, locking people up for no reason. Check this out. Fred the police dog gets fired by police department for being lazy.
The dog. Okay. Interesting.
The Gulfport, Mississippi Police Department dog had the talent for sniffing out contraband, but he was lazy and too easily distracted. Now the department.
Who pays the dog? Does the dog have a bank account? I'm just wondering.
This is crazy. Now the department had to let Fred go. Back to his previous owners at the K-9 Unlimited in Louisiana. While on duty, Fred could be found playing with a soda can instead of doing the police work he was trained to do.
Who gave him the soda can? No.
Yes. Oh, now.
I want that dog in the search line when I'm driving through Mexico.
While on duty, while Fred Sr. ended, it could have been worse. 3 years ago, the Braidwood Police Department in Illinois had to retire Adam after the cop canine attacked a suspect who was already in custody.
All right, before we get to Adam, let's finish up with Fred. Yo, that is a movie right there. That is too perfect for a good little 30-second slot in a movie. Like, this canine, he's supposed to be working, and he's playing with a soda can. Like,
exactly.
Charlie said it best. Who gave him the soda can? Like, what is
right.
this?
And then with Adam, he also assaulted a police officer. Listen, Adam, that's the same thing, buddy. Y'all on the same team.
Adam tripping because
maybe he's drinking on the job.
Ruin their case. Like, if you think about it, like, it takes a lot for you to want to do this. All right, we got to kill him. We can't even fire him. Let's just kill him. It takes a lot, and that probably this might have been some well-known drug dealer. We finally got him. We finally got Nino Brown. We put him in the car, and the door's still open. And Adam walks by, and there's police brutality. And because of that, the case gets dropped. And it's like, hey, Adam.
Adam, what are you doing?
Hey, that's a good one. I would be going ham right now on the internet saying, anybody else who's been in trouble because of that crazy dog that plays with a soda can, we want to overturn all his cases.
Yeah. No
you
pun intended.
Oh, God.
That's
crazy
me.
Dog.
Now,
yeah, see what Massey started.
Our last story. Cop cuffs firefighter trying to help accident victims.
Okay.
A California cop is under investigation after he was allegedly caught in the local news video handcuffing an on-duty firefighter who was helping a car accident victim. CBS 8 reports that the incident occurred when Chula Vista Fire Department engineer Jacob Gregor, 36, refused to move his engine from the fast lane on I-805 between Telegraph Canyon Road and East Orange Avenue. The station,
mm-hmm.
the station's camera appears to show an unnamed California Highway Patrol officer handcuffing Gregor, and he detains him, a 12-year firefighting veteran, in the back of his police car while other firefighters continue to tend to accident victims. Fire Chief Dave Hanneman told the San Diego Union-Tribune that Gregor was operating under standard procedure. I know clearing the freeway is a priority for the CHP. Our number one priority is the safety of our firefighters and patients. CHP is investigating the incident. I think a lot of this had to do with the communication. Gregor was released without charges, which was probably a wise move on the Highway Patrol's part.
Hmm.
Now, you know what, guy? This officer, he gets this.
Hmm.
Right? You know what?
Mm-hmm.
And one more. you are arguing with the firefighter. How could this be any miscommunication? In the
mm-hmm.
video, he has his uniform on.
Right.
And tell him to move his truck. I mean, those things are set there so more traffic doesn't, you know, because the people in L.A., you know, Lace, they in San Diego, I don't care. They were driving along not looking and plow into you, and you're in the street. I've almost gotten run over out of an accident standing in the middle of the street, and a car come flying through the intersection. I mean, he was obviously there for a reason. I vote they should have got the fire hose and squirt the cop. That would have been funny.
Man, and my only thing is, I can't even play the devil's advocate. I can't even say, well, maybe he's new. My thing is this. He's a firefighter. You see it in uniform.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know he's a firefighter because you're asking him to move his truck.
Yeah.
So you got offended because maybe he told you, no, I'm not moving my truck. I have something to do over here.
Yeah.
And he was eager to arrest somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And you arrest a firefighter. You arrest a firefighter.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
And you know what? You know what's funny about this? There's the audience. See, they threw a tomato at him. they threw a tomato at him. Now, I can't understand. I really can't understand the logic in this. You arrest now. Only way I could understand this if he was a plain clothed firefighter. No, I can't because he's saying, "Can you move the truck?"
Mm-hmm.
So I can't. I don't know. I can't follow that one. I don't know.
Mm-mm.
They really need to let him go. I'm sorry.
Mm.
Because you know why? Probably suspend them with, you know, a week without pay, because for real, just like I said before, you know, in a jokingly manner, about the situation, but the police already have a bad reputation for a lot of other violent crimes. You know what I mean? Violent situations where they're shooting people, unarmed people, arresting people. That don't need to be arrested, such as this, and you try to arrest a firefighter.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to the booking station with a firefighter in your car, taking him away from an accident scene.
Right.
Mm.
And
you have to question.
Mm-hmm. Even if he, my thing is this, even if he arrested him, I mean, even if he didn't arrest him, you arguing with a firefighter about a fire truck and these people that's in, you don't know the condition of the people that's in this accident.
Hmm.
And you're taking this boy precious time from assisting these people. I don't know. All I know is he, a homeboy, Jonathan Valencia need to talk to him.
Right.
I have two stories that I want to share. Now, one of the stories is more so it's a debate kind of thing. You know,
that's
I want to hear your opinion about it. But the first story I want to share before we get into that comedy part, I want to talk about the power of hope. I just read this story, right, and it touched me because if you always have to hold on to just that hope, because there's so much power in it.
Mm-hmm. All right,
so this is called, the title is Facebook Answers Dad's Emotional Plea. All right, so this is the story, basically. I'll quote all this stuff. Okay. You ever do something crazy because you just don't know what to do anymore? Well, that's what I'm doing right now, said John Berlin, staring into the camera with moist red-rimmed eyes. I'm calling out to Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook, he continued. You've been putting out these new movies, these one-minute movies everyone's been sharing. Well, my son passed away, and we can't access his Facebook account. I've tried emailing and different things, but it ain't working. All we want to do is see his movie. I know it's a shot in the dark, but I don't care, he said, his voice breaking. I want to see my son's video. His name is Jesse Berlin, so please help me. The Arnold, Missouri man shot the emotionally raw 84-second clip on his phone and posted it Wednesday morning to YouTube and Facebook. By late afternoon, it had hundreds of thousands of views, and he was deluged with Facebook messages. Then, that night, Facebook called. As Berlin listened stunned, they told him it would indeed make a personalized a look-back video for Jesse using the post he had made public on Facebook before his death in 2012 at age 21. Now Berlin is planning to share it online as a tribute to his late son. The thing that just really touched me on that, I mean, even though it's just face, I mean, it's a Facebook story, but it's very powerful to me because it's like what we were talking about earlier in the show's career or whatever, dealing with, have you done all you can to get the results you need? Mm-hmm. Have you done all you can? And, you know, he had, you know, you email. And we could take this story and just place it in everyday practical life. You know, like say someone trying to get a job. Like, okay, he emailed and he called and there was no response. Okay, well, did you try going up to the place and sitting there until someone came out to talk to you? Or did you try? It's just basically there is so much we can do. And even today in church, man, the word was so powerful. The word of God was so powerful. My pastor preached on how we need to learn how to wait on God. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, waiting on God is not just sitting around and doing nothing. It's not, yeah, you know, I'm just going to trust God and you do nothing. No. Waiting on God is occupying yourself with everything that you can do, everything that God's placed in your power to do, and then leaving your hope in Christ Jesus. So this man here, it opened my mind up and opened my heart up just to the idea that there's still so much more. You know, you want sponsorship or whatever, there's millions of dollars out there waiting to be grabbed. So what, you don't have a grant writer? You can go online and you can literally study the format of a grant. And you can copy and paste it, and you can rewrite it to fit your situation. Or yep. So what, you don't have the personnel or the team behind you. You can work it the best way you can until God has added on into your life. Or even so, this is one thing I've learned, that the harder that I work, the more people notice and the more people want to be a part of it. Now, when I say more people, I'm not saying like hundreds of people just come out the woodwork, or even if hundreds of people do come out the woodwork, they're not all for me. They have motives or intentions behind their asking or them wanting to be indulged in my work. But what I am saying is that just by me trying and me working, I grab attention in the area that I desire to have my need met. So this story here that I'm hoping that it's a form of encouragement to those, it's like, you're not destined to die. And when I say die, I don't mean like your physical death. I mean, we're going to die, but if you're saved, you're going to live forever. So like once you got saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, your eternity starts now. You're literally going to another place from here. So you're literally going to live on. But what I am saying is that we're not destined to die in a sense of, well, it's over. There's nothing else I can do. Just, you know, I can da da da. Mm-hmm. It's like that's not the mentality that we take with us. The mentality is on, you know, I've done the best that I can. It's in God's hands. And if God decides that this door shouldn't be open, then glory to God, let that door stay closed. Or I did the best that I can, and if God opens this door, then I'm going to walk through it, and I'm going to continue to persevere. But it's like it's a mentality that I can't lose. And even so, with his story, I don't know. I didn't watch the video or anything, and I didn't see his mindset for it to be like, you know, this is a shot. He said things like, you know, this is a shot in the dark. But listen to the intention behind it. But I'm going to do it. Here goes nothing. I'm going to give it my best anyways. And he got a result. And if it's something that small, just all I want is this 64-second Facebook click. Because you know how Facebook has the best you've done to share, and it's just a whole bunch of pictures that's cut up. It's cut up and it has an instrument. That's all it really is. Mm-hmm. So if he got results from something that small, and mind you, y'all know how Facebook is. Facebook is automated. And for you to get a personal response, I mean, it's a 2 in a million kind of thing. So for him to get a phone call, not an email, but phone call from Facebook, I mean, just imagine what you can accomplish when you give it your best and not settle for something that, you know, is beneath you. And I don't mean in a matter of not being content. I do not mean it. So please don't think I'm saying something like, oh, this is beneath me. I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to work this job. No. Because there's some things that you have to do to grow you up or to make your ends meet right now in this season. I'm not talking about that. But I am saying that there's a perseverance that has to come from your heart. There's a perseverance that has to come from within you to really succeed. And success, I'm not talking about wealth. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about the prosperity of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one story. If you guys want to say anything, go ahead. If not, we can move on to the next.
I just think that that was an interesting move by Facebook in regards to that request.
All right.
Truthfully, you know, we've seen so many cases where they'll fight tooth and nail not to release something, but for them not to fight tooth and nail and just let it be. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, no, you're right. You know, first of all, if you have God on your side, you know, you can't lose. You can't lose. You can do anything. It says in the Bible, if you could tell that mountain to jump in the ocean, it will do it. Now, whether you want to cause a tsunami somewhere is a different story. I always think of that. What am I going to do if I do this? But by the same token, it's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. You just put your best foot forward. I mean, I got personally attacked when I was in business by licensing in Utah to the point that it was like, hold on, like a cop with a happy ticket writing habit, you know? And I said, I went to the Senate, talked to them, and they just said, hey, half of what this woman says is true in a regular Senate meeting. You all are in trouble, and turned the whole state of Utah Health Department on their head. But then I ended up writing two child care laws that saved children that were being, you know, abused by sex offenders. Who would have thought, you know, that would all come out of one little issue that I decided not to take laying down, knowing that I was right in my rightful spot, you know. But God, you know, with God, the awesome thing is all is possible. All is possible with him.
Amen. That's the stuff. So my last story is not necessarily a story, but something that has intrigued me. So there's a rumor, it's not even a rumor. There's an ad going around promoting this celebrity boxing match between George Zimmerman and DMX. Now, DMX is definitely a celebrity. I'll give him that.
I know him.
So, no problem with DMX. But George Zimmerman, what gives him the right to be called a celebrity? Now, not even from my bias about a black, white, Spanish thing, nothing like that. But the thing is, he gained popularity from the death of a teenage boy.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the publicity from this death, you know, his name began to ring in people's houses. So my thing is he truly a celebrity by definition?
Nope. Not at all. Not at all. And I don't have, you know, I'm pro-gun. You already know how I feel on that whole issue.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a right to shooting by law, just as abortion is a righteous law by man's meaning, I don't agree how each thing is done. But no, he is not a celebrity, and I'm really appalled. Wait till I get X on the phone. Trust me, I know him. If he's really taking part in something like that, I'm going to tell him, are you nuts? That's right up with, what's that guy with the funny clock around his neck? I always forget his name. And he does comedy. Thank you. Whenever I'm on the on air, on the stage, I will go to say his name and just start busting up, going, who's the clock dude? And everybody laughs. But just like he pointed out, when they wanted him to come and do this certain part of a movie, and he said, I feel like I'm selling my race out to do that because it was demeaning. He's like, but it's the money. It's like, no. Money is the root of all evil. It could set you free. But I will tell you, that to me is wrong. He should never even have... My opinion is that whole act, it needs to be buried, put away. Don't even mention his name just because, you know what I mean? At least not glorifying him that way. And somebody will shoot him. You watch. If they bring him somewhere, you watch. I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying somebody will take him out if he's out in the open like that. Are you kidding? He's probably got a high ticket on his head. But, you know, that's my
thought. And actually the way I see it, I don't want him to be a celebrity. None of us want to, but because of what's happening, people are propelling him into the realm of a celebrity.
Right, right.
And I think that's an unfortunate situation because people want to fight him. They want to be a part of the celebrity boxing match. I think it took a lot of guts for a promoter to say, let's try to do this.
Mm-hmm.
They got free media on that. Are you kidding? Just mentioning his name, free media.
Yeah, and I think it's wrong. I think it's wrong and on all levels. He should not even get the time or day. I mean, and the thing is, people are going to watch it, though.
Right.
Right. They want to see him get his butt kicked. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do.
So,
but
I think my question will be is how much profit will be made off of this, and who is this money going to?
Right, who's it going to?
No kidding.
Well, if he got sued, I don't know if he got sued like OJ got sued, because then all the money would go to the family. But still, I think it would be more apropos if they wanted to play games like that is, you know, look at one of the projects down there in Florida and do it like they do on Arnold Schwarzenegger's movie. Just drop him in the middle and see how quick he gets out and let everybody put bets. Let's play that game, you know. They won't be I'm sorry, but you know what I mean. They want entertainment, you know, like Death Race 2000 or 10,000, you know. It's like, really? Why are we with our mental capacities even putting the entertainment, that idea to have that out there? That just shows you how dumb America's become in a nutshell. Like, they're willing to have that as their entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You know, in general.
So, I think, okay, for DMXN, he may have done it because he wants to beat him up. You know, this is my opportunity to represent how he died, he do us. Da, da, da. I don't know. I'm really not even thinking about that.
I'll work to get him on the show. I want to work to get him on our show, and we'll ask him.
Yeah, that'd be dope. But the thing about Zimmerman, the case, I mean, we all have our emotions, our feelings, our things about it. You know, I feel that what the prosecutor did a horrible job. Period. I mean, the case was won straight up from a lack of what the prosecutor did, but that's another story as well. I'm getting at the fact that as a country, as a people here in America, how we propel people to celebrity status or famous or popular status, not necessarily because of their talents, because there is some gold mines here, but because of a situation, whether it be positive or negative, people get propelled. And in this case, we highlighted Zimmerman. And that's my thing. Why? You know, like, I remember we were talking about how Denzel got a Grammy based off of Training Day, but he smashed so many other videos, so many other movies. But it wasn't until he became a bad guy.
Yeah, right.
Why do we do that?
He is one sexy bad guy, sorry. he is. But, exactly. You know, people just inner feelings, you know, they use it as a way of expressing themselves, just like our little friend that was on earlier, little Mr. Valencia. Jonathan was speaking on music and you know, getting involved in that music, and they sing that music, and they put that on their life. You know, you're speaking it over your life. We've all touched on that the last 3 weeks, a little here and there. So it must be something weighing heavy on the universe, the fact that we keep tuning into that little thought there in the thoughtosphere. But ultimately, people like violence. They like those kind of things. Well, what do you think if you keep delving it and thinking about it and you know, just mulling it over and over and over. It brings about, I mean, my goodness, they stopped the Los Angeles freeway. I have never seen anybody stop the I-10, and they did it during that case. And, you know, there's a whole lot of reasons behind that. I'll tell you who it is ultimately. I work on this every day with a client of ours, the American Center for Law and Justice, that sees, you know, issues happening in the world like that. It's Satan. He wants to divide and conquer. What's the best way to divide and conquer? I think if all three of us allowed that kind of stuff to interfere with our relationship as friends and as co-hosts, we wouldn't have the show on right now. So if we're allowing Satan in our lives that way to push forth, you know, racism, to push, I mean, why? There's no reason to put that on the air and drudge it all up and stir it up. It's horrible. It was a horrible thing that happened. Not that I'm not saying sweep it under the carpet and not learn by it, but not celebritize it and put it out there and just get those feelings all going again. Think about how much more mayhem is caused by showing in a negative light like that. Talk about it like it is and put it to rest, but not stir it up. Why are they doing that? There's an alternative reason.
Good stuff. That is good. That is. Yes, good.
Now, also, on top of that, just think about it like this. We have been doing this for years. Even go back to OJ.
Mm-hmm.
Once he got out of his situation, he wrote a book about if I killed Nicole, this is how I would have done it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, you say freedom of speech. But we have a tendency to sensationalize any and all events, no matter what the situation is.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's something to celebrate or whether it's something that we should not celebrate. I mean, this kid lost his life, and we have a guy, and like I said, I can't blame Zimmerman for him getting off because he had lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I blame the system because the lawyers that Trayvon had, they didn't work as hard as they should have.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they went for the wrong way to put him behind bars.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They tried to prove that he actually did that on purpose, but you have to prove that he woke up wanting to kill a black kid. You can't prove it unless he wrote it somewhere. You know what I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's called the letter of the law. You know, it's like when abortion was legalized, they legalized it for something everybody would buy at the time. You know, the mother gets raped, or, oh, my gosh, she could die. Well, now, today, she just doesn't want it anymore. The letter of the law is not appropriate. We know within our hearts, because we hold ourselves to God, we know in our hearts why we say what we say. They don't have that same litmus test. They just do it. They use, like with the constitutional laws, that's driving me nuts right now. Oh, well, this means this means that. No, leave the constitutional law alone. It wasn't meant to decipher and go, that's an adjective and this is a verb, therefore those two things together. Forget that. That's not what the spirit of the law meant. The spirit of the law meant if I'm in my house and some guy comes in here and kicks my door in, I have the right to blow his head off and I'm not going to be prosecuted for it. That's the letter of the law. Now, today, you know, you don't see them showing on the news, for instance, how many women or men or people have had guns to their head and saved their lives by shooting somebody. Why? Because that's not what they will have there. They will show an innocent boy that got killed. Maybe he, you know, talked some lip, but he didn't deserve to get shot. Mm-hmm. But by the letter of the law, they can twist it around to fit whatever, you know, whoever tells the story best, how about that, instead of using a spirit of law. So,
look what's crazy about that. You know, if someone would break in my house and they tripped over a chair and broke their arm, they could sue me and successfully win?
I know. Hey, you want to hear something even? You're absolutely right. Right now, there's the guys that are in Oregon. They did not want to make a cake for a same-sex wedding, okay? Now, can you picture this? Christian family. They have a home baking business. Not home, but they have a business. They were sued by the gay movement because they refused. They said, we'll make you a cake, but it can't be a wedding cake. Sued them, lost. Photographer, same thing. It is, you know, I get to see God up there looking down at us like our father, just shaking his head, going, really? And then Lamont goes and pushes the button and it says, whoosh, you know? Just kidding. You know, I mean, it's all in that same weighing of the balances. It's out of whack. But you're right. You're absolutely right. They come on your property and sue you. If you shoot them and they live, they could sue you for all their medical damages. Well, what were you doing in my house? You right. coming to deliver me some cookies?
So this is my thing. I'm not going to just complain, you know. So I'm going to put out a solution, and this is my challenge to everyone on the airwaves. We have to unite, and this is not a race thing. This is a people thing. This is a people of God thing. We have to unite. We have to stand up for one another, and we have to stop encouraging the nonsense. So, example, I can't necessarily media. You stop doing what you're doing. I can't necessarily do that. But what can I do? I can stop posting about it on Facebook and social media. I can stop watching it. I can stop supporting it. And if I can have others to join me, then cool, we can literally take it down. Because if they're not making money in this area, they're not going to push it. Because to be honest with you, if they can make money off of Jesus, they will promote it. Period.
Yep.
That's why there is a gospel. That's why there is a gospel network. That's why there is a gospel station, because there is a form of money that they're making in Christianity. So if that be the case, you know, even though I'm not saying we push Jesus so they can make money, but I am saying I would rather them play Jesus all day and fill us with encouragement and godly stuff instead of pushing evil stuff. You know what I mean? So I would rather that.
Yep.
All day.
Preach it. Yeah, that's how you know who's behind it. Who would be behind that? It's positive or it's negative, and that's how you judge, positive or negative.
Right. So I would rather I challenge myself in that area too, as far as what movies I go to the theater to push. You know,
mm-hmm.
is this movie belittling our community? And like I said, our community is not just a black thing, but it's a us thing. Is this belittling us? Why is it that Christians pay over millions of dollars to support a movie that was about the devil and promoting his works?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
Right.
And it's
right.
like, that's a challenge for you. Even though it looks good on the trailers, that's cool and all. But even, like I said, I'm putting a challenge on myself too. Am I going to the theater to purchase a ticket, which is going to increase the sales and the notoriety of this particular movie, which is
right.
Antichrist, which is against
right.
everything in the Bible? How can I preach the gospel, be reading it and everything, and I turn around and I put a post up, man, that Satan is God movie was so dope, man, y'all got to go see it. Well, Satan is God
right.
movie? And the thing is, and if nobody asks any questions, like, why did you go see that? Why is nobody asking, Pastor Lace, why are you going to go watch that movie? Why did you go
right.
see that? I think that's another problem, too. We are not uniting. It is so passive.
Right.
It's just movie. It's just entertainment. No, it's not. The devil is busy.
It
is
spirit.
Not entertainment.
Yeah, you're right. No, then, and Christ even said, you know, you can't have preaching and cursing coming out the same exit. You know, it's coming in that you can't do it. It's not appropriate, you know? Not appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not, and the thing is, just to be clear, I'm not knocking all movies like, oh, if it don't got Jesus a cross in it, then it's a problem. I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying, what is the overall message glorifying at the end of the day? What has that
mm-hmm.
message, what was the message being poured across?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've seen, like, okay, like, Menace to Society is a classic hood movie that we all have seen. And
yep.
it's a good movie.
I've never seen that movie. I never watched that one.
Well, except Lamar.
Really? Send you the copy I have. We grew up. Sorry, we're not glorifying it. We're just saying we grew up there. We know what
right.
it was like.
We grew up in this kind of movie.
Yeah,
we grew up in these. Yeah. So the thing is, like you said, that movie on one end, it shows the aspect, like Boys in the Hood, it shows the aspect of being in this kind of environment and how it trains your mind and what it goes from there. It's not necessarily, it's not glorifying it. But you have on the other end, you do have people that watch the movie and glorify it. Like, I'm trying to be like A-Dog, like O-Dog. I'm going to be a killer like O-Dog. You have that situation. So I'm not, you have some of these movies that are like, okay, it can go either way depending on a person's perception. What is being revealed here? You have those things. But I'm just saying, overall, is this a movie that's going to build our community? Is this a movie
yeah.
that's going to open your mind? And if it's not, don't promote it. If you're watching a movie and you're like, okay, I need that perspective, cool. I can understand that. I need a perspective of how it's like in the hood because I grew up in the suburbs. I understand you thinking like
right.
that. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other end, are you pushing, hey, little kids, you ever seen this? And you get them to watch
right.
it, and then they have goals and dreams to be that.
and then you only concentrated on certain areas or certain ethnic backgrounds. Like, that's not good for us. So that's my whole thing, where the challenge lies. That's where we're standing the gap.
Yeah. I mean, I agree 100%. I mean, it's like I said earlier, we have to be a part of the solution. We understand these films are, you know, where we grew up, but the problem lies if we continue to do those films and not show growth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I do credit Tyler Perry for in his films, although in a lot of areas he always let me stay on a positive trail. He do show blacks in a positive light far as career choice wise.
Mm-hmm.
They do have good careers in his movie. They're not all hood rats. They're not all cursing out. You do have that one character, but at the same time, he's showing you that there are other careers. When you see his movies, you do see them, and you know they have very successful careers, and they're not all boys in the hood. They're not menace to society. So I just want to say that, you know.
Mm-hmm. I just watched that Deeds. That was a pretty good movie. I liked it.
Yeah,
you guys seen that?
Yeah, I've seen it. Well, yeah, but like I said, in that aspect, he do show us on a more positive career path, you know, nice office, nice jobs type deal.
I like how they had the both sides with the girl that was the janitor, and she was just like, yeah, this, that, the other. He's like, nobody's ever talked to me like that. It was kind of like role reversal. It was really, I like how really well it was done, though. It was done real well.
Absolutely. Now, wow, I didn't realize that we have 3 minutes left in our show. Great show today.
Hey. Yeah.
So let's go ahead and get into the words to live by for this week.
All right. Well, ironically enough, the words to live by, it kind of touched bases on a topic that we just randomly ran into. It comes from Revelation chapter 2, starting at verse 14, which says, "But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. Thus, you also have those that hold doctrine of Nicolaitans, which things I hate." This is Jesus talking, mind you. "Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it." All right, so the major key that I want y'all to really catch hold of in 14, you know, Jesus is talking, he's talking to the church, and he's telling them, he's talking to John, and John is giving the message, is going to give the message, which he has given us in Revelation, about the thing, like, he commends the church first, like, "I see that you've been faithful, you've been persevering, but this is what I have against you. This is the problem." So really quickly, Balaam did, he taught Balak all of the unrighteous things. Just real quick. Okay, this is how we're going to get. I'm going to ease up really fast. Really fast, what happened was Balaam could not curse the children of Israel. So, because God had already blessed them. So what God blesses, can no man curse. So really quick, what happened is, instead of cursing them because he couldn't do it, he decided to teach them a way for them to destroy themselves. Hence the doctrine of Balaam, which was the sexual immortality, the idolatry, et cetera, et cetera. So that being said, the problem was that nobody could curse us, but we curse ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is after that. So I can't get on the topic because this scripture is very, very thick.
So the challenge is what I'm basically saying is what we already covered, was about repenting and really standing up. We have to stop teaching those negative aspects, which is causing us to kill ourselves. The devil doesn't have to work that hard when we destroy ourselves. So let's rise above it.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we'd like to thank you all for tuning in to the Covenant Cafe. A big shout-out to our guest, Jonathan Valencia, as well as his mother that called in. We appreciate you guys. Thank you for listening to the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson.
Poetic Lace.
Charlie, entirely Baltimore.
All right. You guys have a good night. Until next week.
Yep.